Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We focus our attention this morning on these words from Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language. This is the word of the Lord. In 1524, 500 years ago, a pastor from the town of Zwickau in Saxony, Germany, that none of you have ever heard of before, wrote to a friend. The pastor you've never heard of was named Nicholas Hausmann. But the friend to whom he wrote, you might have heard of. His name was Martin Luther. Hausmann wrote to Luther, and he said words to these effect: the congregations, they need to be put in order. Things are kind of a mess out here. And so he encouraged Luther to come and visit the congregations of Saxony to find out what's really going on. You see, we observe each year, October the 31st, 1517, when Luther nails the 95 Theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg as the birth of the Reformation. But the Reformation really began in an academic setting. It was amongst the universities, and it was amongst clergy. And so Luther's first few years were really conversations among the academic elites. His 95 Theses were written for such, and what followed were a series of debates and disputations. He appeared in Heidelberg in 1518, and Leipzig in 1519, and then the Diet of Worms, where he appears before Emperor Charles V in 1521. But it's after that that Luther starts to think beyond just a debate amongst the church leaders and actually about the people. The people in the pews. So after the Diet of Worms, Luther is branded a heretic to be taken into custody and put to death. There's a warrant out for his head. And so his protector arranges for him to go into hiding, and he hides at the magnificent Wartburg Castle. And while he's there, he translates the Word of God into German for the people. And that begins a shift from theological discussions and debates to begin trying to shape the life and faith of God's people in every congregation in the land. When Pastor Hausmann wrote to Luther in 1524, he wanted him to simply get outside of Wittenberg and to see what the life of the parishes was really like. And so a formal visitation of the parishes of Saxony would begin, and what Luther found would shape his ministry going forward. Because he writes the catechism, the small catechism that some of you memorized all too well. It is written in response to what Luther had seen. And in his preface, he writes these words: "The deplorable, miserable condition which I discovered lately when I too was a visitor has forced and urged me to prepare this catechism on Christian doctrine in this small, plain, simple form. Mercy, good God, what manifold misery I beheld. The common people, especially in the villages, have no knowledge whatever of Christian doctrine. And alas, many pastors are altogether incapable and incompetent to teach. So much that one be ashamed to speak of it." Yikes.
Luther wasn't too impressed with what he found. And so he wrote the Catechism, a summary of the basic teachings of all of Scripture. And he would say of his catechism, it contains the whole Christian teaching, as all Christians must know it for their eternal blessedness. All right, what does the history lesson have to do with you as the people of God in Lebanon? Dear friends in Christ, everything in the church is centered around Jesus Christ so that you may believe that He died and rose again, and that through Him and on account of His sacrifice on the cross that you might receive forgiveness of all of your sins and the promise of eternal life. The reality is that we are just like those people that Luther described in the Catechism as dumb brutes, pastors and people alike. Because what did we just say moments ago? We confessed our sins. Now, we use the confession from Divine Service 4. The one from Divine Service 3 really rolls off the tongue. So I'll stick with that. Oh, Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner. The words convict each and every one of us. And they're words not just for the parishioners in the pews. They're words for the pastors to confess as well. That we deserve nothing from God. Sinners in need of His mercy and forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. We need the gospel, an eternal gospel. Dear friends in Christ, that's what Lutheranism is all about. It's not about Luther. It's not about a man. And he called himself all kinds of names too. Luther considered himself a dumb brute, a sinner, just like the rest of us. However, everything that Luther lays out in the small catechism that we find throughout his writings places the emphasis on the grace and mercy of God, that we deserve nothing from Him, but He gives it all to us freely as His gift on account of Jesus Christ. Everything in the catechism, everything in the hymnal, everything in the Scriptures points us back to the Christ of the cross and what God has won for us there. You've got it up here. It's all about grace alone, through faith alone, based upon the Scripture alone, and the center of it all is Christ alone. Christ for you. Not because you tried hard, not because you're going to do better next time, but because He has paid the price by His death on the cross for you all. Dear friends, He is the hope of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the promise of eternal life. And that's what the angel declares there in Revelation 14, verse 6. The church exists for the sake of an eternal gospel to proclaim to all who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And that's why Trinity Lutheran Church in Lebanon exists today, to proclaim that gospel, that eternal gospel to all people. Proclaim that gospel to children and older adults, to the homebound and to college students, not just to the members of your congregation, but to the more than 50% who live without saving faith in Christ in Laclede County. The eternal gospel is for all who dwell on earth. Because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel. I grew up in the church, but it's one of the earliest memories I have. Those words from John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. Every year, the family, we gather, well, it's gotten to be just my wife and I these days, but we gather to put the ornaments on the Christmas tree. And the last one that I always put up, it's a walnut shell. It was once painted gold. On the bottom, there's a leaf underneath it, and on the back of the leaf, it says in my father, or it's got written in my father's Sharpie, 1974. Inside of the walnut, there is a little bit of straw. There used to be more. And then there's a little baby. The baby was once glued. No longer. Glue doesn't last 50 years. And so I have to make sure that the ornament sits carefully nestled within the tree. But already at age 4, I was taught that the gospel in a nutshell is John 3:16. And it's about the baby born of Bethlehem, the Christ who suffered and died on Calvary. And He did it for children and adults. He did it for us all. It's a joy to be with you this morning. But the gospel is being proclaimed in your sister congregations across Missouri in more than a dozen different languages. God is fulfilling the promise of Revelation 14:6. As the eternal gospel is proclaimed to people who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people, right here in Missouri. But that same gospel message is being proclaimed. That is why Trinity exists. So that you may cling to this hope. And that the hope is not just for you, but all those outside of your congregation as well. Pastor Overdeek and I overlapped at seminary, and we had a wonderful professor during our days there who wrote the commentary on Revelation. The sainted Lewis Brighton. Dr. Brighton writes of this verse, "This eternal news includes then not only the announcement of judgment or the law, but also the gracious call and invitation to such worship, the gospel. The eternal gospel is proclaimed to all nations. Such proclamation has as its goal the repentance and salvation of all through the announcement of Christ's forgiveness. The eternal gospel is the eternal message of God, both judgment and grace based on the work, person, and saving work of Jesus Christ." Dear friends in Christ, we don't talk about Luther in the sermon every week, and you don't get a history lesson every week, but you do get Jesus. You, every week, know what you're going to receive when you come for worship here. You're going to hear that your sins are forgiven. And the word is going to be spoken. You heard your pastor say it. In the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, your sins were forgiven. You come forward to receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And you hear every week that Christ died for you and rose again to open for you the way everlasting life. That's what Reformation Sunday is all about. And that's what every Sunday is all about. It's all about Christ for you. What He has done for you. That's why the Lutheran Church still exists, to proclaim this message. So, dear friends, you may not even remember that pastor's name. Doesn't really matter. Today is not about our most beloved hymns, even though we sing them with gusto. It's not about famous mottos. Today is about Jesus Christ and the eternal gospel that is preached in His name. And everything we do is so ordered that we may obtain such faith in Jesus, that we might live with Him eternally. So, dear friends, we celebrate Reformation Day with joy, because it's about Jesus and the eternal gospel and the hope that we have in Him for all eternity. May God grant eternal life to us all for the sake of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting.